Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
Doppelgangers aren't like what you see in the movies. They aren't interested in holding you captive and stealing your life. They aren't linked to you by some supernatural bond either. The only part that interests them is your taste. They're easy enough to spot if you know what you're looking for, but letting your guard down for even a moment can be a deadly mistake. That's something my family had to learn the hard way. It was around 6 p.m. when I first realized something was wrong. I sat on the couch, head in my hands. I typed out a text message about a half hour earlier, but still couldn't find the strength to hit send. I picked up the phone from the coffee table, and after staring at it a moment, put it back down again. I'd done this so many times, I could swear there was a phone-shaped indent in the wood. "Come on, Paul," I mumbled to myself. "It's just like ripping off a band-aid." Again, I picked up the phone. After taking a deep breath, I finally pressed enter. The message was simple. "It's over." It didn't take long for Stephanie to answer. "Lol, you said that last week." I furrowed my brow. "I'm serious, I'm telling Wendy everything." I saw her start typing, stop for a long moment, and then start again. "She'll leave you, you know, you'll never see Henry again." This wasn't news to me. I'd spent countless nights agonizing over that thought. Even so, seeing it in a text hit me hard. She always tried to get in my head like this, but for once, I didn't take the bait. "And I'll deserve it," I said. I powered my phone down before she could respond and shoved it in my pocket out of sight. I suddenly heard the rumbling of Wendy's car coming into the driveway, which immediately made my heart rate spike. The keys began turning in the lock. "Like a band-aid," I thought again. The door opened and I steadied my breath. "Hey, sweetie, do you think we could talk for a—" Her voice was buzzing with excitement. "Hold that thought, babe. I have something special for you." I just blinked and stared at her, dumbfoundedly. Great. What is it?" She thrust a pink paper bag into my arms. "Open it," she practically shouted. I hesitantly pushed my arm into the bag and fished out a box. Inside was another smaller box. I gave her a look and she just smiled. "Keep going." I did as I was told and discovered my present. Inside of the box was a positive pregnancy test. I instantly felt my resolve melt away. She looked at me expectantly and I stretched my face into a wide grin. "This is—" I struggled for words. "Amazing." She wrapped her arms around me. "I know, right? Henry will be so excited. What were you saying before?" My mouth went dry. "I don't really remember." She let go of me and headed for the hallway. "Let me know when you think of it." I just stared at the floor. I had already partially come to grips with losing Henry, but this reopened the wound. I entertained the possibility of telling her eventually, but in the back of my mind, I knew I'd never be able to go through with it. Not now. I was considering all this when Wendy said something that gave me pause. "I'm getting Henry. We're going out to celebrate right now." I raised an eyebrow. "He's not with you. I thought you were picking him up today." She stopped and turned around. "Oh, did you forget already? You called me and said that you'd take care of it." Now I was genuinely confused. I'm forgetful, but I've got a couple more decades at least before dementia starts setting in. When did that happen? About a half hour ago. After thinking a moment, I remembered something weird. "But my phone's been missing a week, remember?" The phone I'd used to talk to Stephanie was a secret burner phone. I didn't even have Wendy's number on it. She smiled and raised an eyebrow. Well, someone left me this message. She quickly produced the phone and played back the voicemail. The voice I heard was my own, clear as crystal. Hey, sweetie, text me anything you want from the store, and don't worry about Henry. I'll pick him up on the way back. This message startled me. Was I going crazy? When Wendy saw the confusion in my eyes, her skepticism gave way to concern. Who else would it have been? I frantically threw on my jacket. I don't know, but whoever it is, they're on the way to Henry's school. I rushed out of the house and into the car. As I sped down the empty street, terrible possibilities played on an endless loop in my head. By the time I screeched into the elementary school parking lot, dismissal was already well underway. I scanned the sea of faces for any sign of Henry, but it was hopeless. I was on the cusp of a full-on breakdown when I spotted a crop of familiar orange hair a few yards away. A second later, I caught a glimpse of Henry's face, and relief washed over me. However, when I called him, the sound was drowned out by the screams and chatter of the crowd. As I pushed through the sea of parents and children, I saw that Henry wasn't alone. A man was holding his hand and quickly leading him toward the road. I gave another desperate cry. Henry? This time, he turned around. Henry looked puzzled after seeing me and kept looking back and forth between the man and I. Daddy? The man yanked him violently, and that seemed to snap him from his trance. Henry slipped from his grasp and dove into my arms, burying his face in my chest. I wiped moisture from my cheeks and realized I had been crying. Please, don't ever do that again. Henry pointed at the man. But he looked like you. I looked up and caught a glimpse of the stranger right before he ducked into the car. Then he was gone as soon as he appeared, speeding down the street and rounding a corner. After checking every inch of Henry to make sure he wasn't hurt, I led him back to my car. Listen, buddy, I said. Before you leave with someone, you need to be absolutely sure they're me, okay? Henry's face grew sullen. I'm sorry, I won't do it again. And you're sure he looked exactly like me? Henry squeezed his eyes shut and nodded emphatically. I sighed. It was all so impossible. I kept expecting myself to wake up on the couch in a cold sweat. How would I explain this to Wendy? I gasped. Wendy. She was back at the house all alone. I told myself I was just being paranoid, but it didn't stop me from pressing down the accelerator. The two of us made it back to the house in record time. Henry started unbuckling his seatbelt, but I stopped him. Stay here, no matter what, I said. I crept up to the door and found it covered in boot marks, as if someone had been trying to kick it open. Looking down, I discovered muddy prints leading to a smashed window. Ignoring the alarm bells sounding in my head, I unlocked the door and slowly swung it open. The sunlight did little to illuminate the dimness of the living room. With what little light there was, I could make out a toppled bookcase and a few scattered papers. Not good. Eventually, I found Wendy lying in the kitchen, slumped over like a puppet with no strings. A bruise was blossoming under her eye, and there were several bloody cuts on her face and arms. The sight of her simultaneously broke my heart and filled me with rage. I reached out to her, but she recoiled from my touch and shrieked. Calm down, I whispered. It's just me. I was cut off by a banana hitting me on the forehead. I blinked. Wendy was throwing anything within arm's reach at me. I know exactly who you are. Just get the hell away from me. Apparently, out of fruits to throw, she grabbed a nearby kitchen knife. My eyes widened, and I put my hands up defensively. No, just listen. Whoever attacked you wasn't me. Henry almost went off with a stranger today. He said the guy looked exactly like me. She lowered the knife, but didn't drop it. Where's Henry now? In the car. We need to get him out of here quickly. She eyed me hesitantly. I racked my brain for a way to prove it. When he attacked you, was he wearing this? I asked, indicating my outfit. She looked me up and down before shaking her head slowly. I guess not. And you must have fought back. I motioned at the blood under her fingernails. I don't have a single scratch on me. Listen, I know how insane it sounds, but I think some guy has been running around pretending to be me. Remember how my phone got stolen? He was the one who took it. He was the one who left you the voicemail. And he was the one who did this to you. I slowly held out my hand for her. You have to trust me. After a moment, she finally put the knife down and finally let me help her to her feet. Henry's screams suddenly pierced through the quiet of the kitchen. Wendy and I looked at each other before rushing into the living room. Henry stood in the middle of the room, pale as a ghost and staring at the door to the basement. Wendy's voice was frantic. What happened? Henry pointed a shaky finger at the door. Daddy's face was backward. What do you mean, sweetie? I took a hesitant step toward the basement door. It means there's someone down there. Henry grabbed my sleeve. Don't go, Daddy. He's bad. I chuckled quietly. I know he is, buddy. Stay close to Mommy, okay? I creaked open the door and took a step into the inky darkness. As I descended, my mind raced with the possibilities of who might be waiting for me down there. Backwards face? What the hell did that mean? By the time my feet landed on the cold cement floor, I was shaking almost uncontrollably. The room was veiled in a wall of darkness, but I could just make out a figure at the other end of the room, perfectly still. As my fingers probed the wall for the light switch, my eyes stayed glued to the thing in the corner. As I slowly adjusted to the darkness, I realized it was sitting. Or was it crouched? My hand finally found the switch, and I flicked it up frantically. The room was filled with light, and my eyes met the figure that had been watching me. At first, I didn't know what to make of the bloody pile of skin and hair that sat in front of me. Although it was ragged and mangled, I could make out arms and legs, like an empty Halloween costume from hell. The face held dark chasms where the eyes and mouth should have been. I edged a few inches closer and confirmed what I'd suspected. It was a face. It was my face. Mingled with the blood was greyish-blue fluid that formed a trail along the floor. I followed it until it eventually stopped in an open laundry chute. After a moment of thought, I realized something that made my heart drop. The chute led straight to the living room. The living room my family was standing in. Spinning on my heels, I began bolting up the stairs. Dread seized my body. While I was in the basement playing hero, my family might have been up there getting torn to shreds by that thing. Throwing open the door, I was met with an empty living room. I peered through a window, hoping to see them waiting for me outside, but they weren't there. Realizing they must be somewhere in the house, I began making my way into the dark halls. As I passed by fallen family portraits and broken vases, I couldn't help but fear the worst. I tried opening the door to Wendy's bedroom, but it had been locked. "Open up, it's me," I whispered. After a moment, the door creaked open and Wendy quickly dragged me inside. "Thank God you're here," she hissed. It wasn't until I entered that I saw the condition Wendy and Henry were in. To my shock, they were both covered in a network of crisscrossing scratch marks. Wendy was clinging to a fire poker, something she no doubt picked up while trying to fight off whatever was in the house. I quickly locked the door behind me. "What happened to you both?" She blinked back tears. "Something attacked us. It wasn't a person, but it wasn't an animal either. I know it's dark, but I swear whatever it was didn't have any..." Any what?" "Skin." She put her head in her hands. "Does that sound crazy?" I shook my head and told her about what I'd found in the basement. After I was done, she said something that caught me off guard. "What do you think it looks like now?" I shot her a puzzled look and she continued. "Well, it made itself look like you. What if it looks like someone else now?" I thought for a moment. "I guess that's true, but wouldn't it be long gone by now, looking like another host?" She held Henry a little tighter. "I guess." I stood up. "Well, come on, let's get the hell out of here." She didn't move. "Why do you think it didn't attack you?" There was a long, ugly pause. "It was already gone by the time I got there. Now, can we please get out? I'm not going out there with me, with that creature. I took a step toward her, and she raised her hands defensively, one of them still holding the fire poker. Please, don't get any closer. I sighed. Wendy, I get it. You're scared. I am too. But you have to trust me. She seemed like she was easing up, until Henry threw me a curveball. Look, he shouted, pointing at my pocket. Daddy found his phone. After some brief confusion, I realized he was talking about the burner phone. I pulled it out, and they didn't seem to tell the difference. It took Wendy only a second to realize the implications. She raised a shaky finger at it, nudging Henry behind her. How'd you get that? I tried to sound innocent. What do you mean? She took another step back. It was stolen, remember? It's what that thing used to send me that fake voicemail. How do you have it? No, this isn't the same phone. It's just a... I stopped myself. If I told her it was a burner, she'd know about the affair. She raised the fire poker slightly. Just a what? I edged toward her. Listen, Wendy, I'll tell you. Just give me the fire poker. She swung it at me, more as a warning. Get back. Answer the question. Just what? We were about 5 feet apart, her back nearly against the wall. I desperately tried to make my voice as soothing as possible. I promise I'll answer all of your questions as soon as you give me that thing. She swung again, a little harder this time. I wanted so desperately to just tell her and end this, but I couldn't do it. I wasn't ready to lose her. I wasn't ready to lose my family. And I wouldn't have to if I could just get that damn fire poker. I grabbed for her, but it whizzed through the air in an instant, slicing through my hand. I cried out and inspected the wound. Growling with anger, I made a lunge for her. She shrieked and blindly thrust the fire poker forward. I twisted my body to avoid it and tackled her to the ground. I'd almost pinned my arms down when my breathing became ragged. Before I knew it, I doubled over. After some confusion, I looked at my chest and realized what happened. The fire poker had hit its mark after all. Through slightly blurred vision, I watched Wendy push herself onto wobbly legs and scoop Henry into her arms. I breathed in shakily and wheezed. Burner. She gave me a bewildered look. What are you talking about? It's not my phone. It's a burner. After a brief coughing fit, I continued. I had an affair. I couldn't tell you. Oh my God, she screamed at me, her eyes welling with tears. You idiot! Why would you wait until now to tell me? I just stared at the window. Strange colors were dancing in front of my eyes. If the creature isn't disguised as you, then where is it? I barely considered her words at first, just letting them wash over me. Then I realized something that made my eyes bulge. I tried to tell her, but I broke into a coughing fit. As Wendy tried desperately to decipher what I was saying, Henry slowly opened his mouth, revealing row upon row of tiny, needle-like teeth.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo
und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.